If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Hi everyone, this is Chris. Today's episode is going to be a repeat episode, one of the best of from a couple years ago on Oaxaca, Mexico. I had planned this because I was traveling. Little did I know that I was going to come back from Thailand with COVID, so all the better reason to listen to something from the archives. I hope you enjoy this. Amateur Traveler, episode 721. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about a city in the clouds, a stone waterfall, textiles, pottery, parades, and mole as we go to Oaxaca, Mexico. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Oaxaca. I'd like to welcome to the show Susan Metnoski from BrooklynTropically.com, and that's tropically with an I at the end, but I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And Susan, you're coming on the show to talk about one of my favorite places in Mexico. Of course, I haven't been every place, Oaxaca. And why are you talking about Oaxaca?
Well, it is also one of my favorite places. It's actually my favorite place because I now live here. Mm-hmm. After, I think my first trip was in 2015, and I just kept coming back and back for months at a time. And then finally, I had been traveling full time for a while. I'm a travel blogger. And when I was just ready to settle down, this was the place that was at the very top of my list.
Excellent. Well, and I understood after reaching out to Susan that she was a longtime listener of the show, which is always fun to hear.
Yes, it is a big honor for me to be on the show. When there was a time many years ago I wasn't able to really travel, and this was my constant source of inspiration.
I cannot imagine a time not being able to travel, except, of course, like now. But
right.
Yes. Excellent. And why should someone go to Oaxaca?
So I think that the thing about Oaxaca that's really so special and is not often matched in other places is that it's so dynamic. There is such a depth and breadth of things to do and learn and taste and understand here. It's so easy to fill a week itinerary full of all these things, and not just one type of thing, but a huge variety of things. So there's incredible culture here. Mm-hmm. There's history, an amazing food and mezcal scene, beautiful nature, artisan work. So there's really something for everyone. And it's just such a dynamic place to learn a little of everything.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us? Where are we going to start?
So I've worked on this a lot over the years, because, as I say, there's so much to do. And I actually hear over and over again that people come here, they plan a long weekend trip, and they pair it with Mexico City or the coast or other places in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And on their first or second day, they're already planning a return trip because they realize immediately that there's just such a huge amount of things to do. It's such a beautiful place, such a compelling place. So I've come up with a 7-day itinerary that I think is really a nice balance of all these different aspects, the nature and the culture and the history and the food and artisan work. And I think that's a great way to have your first trip to Oaxaca, to have a little bit of a balance of all the things and learn a little of everything and just have this well-rounded perspective of Oaxaca.
And where are we going day one?
Well, so I have this kind of divided by Oaxaca City and then day trips. And okay. I think that one way people go wrong is they don't necessarily know that the day trips and the villages and the nature sites and the archaeological sites outside the city, the number of things to do outside of the city is equal or more than within the city. So mm-hmm. I think that the best way to kind of approach your itinerary is to think of it more or less in a 50-50 way, that maybe you're going to be doing day trips about as many days as you will be just strictly inside the city. So first, I'd like to just kind of talk about stuff within the city, and then later I can get into the day trips if that works for you.
Works for me.
So Oaxaca has been inhabited since 11,000 BC. So it has an extremely long history, a really in-depth mm-hmm. history. And that's part of why a lot of the places outside of the city are so important. The pre-Hispanic right. archaeological sites and villages that still hold to their traditions. But also the city itself is quite old. And the modern day city started to be built in the 1500s when the Spanish were here. So there's still lots of historical sites to see in the city that are important and also beautiful. One of the best places I think to start is Santo Domingo Church. That is an ex-convent that mm-hmm. has now been converted to a church and a museum and a ethnobotanical garden. And it's also just kind of a big meeting point in the city for tourists and for locals as well. It's great for people watching. There's lots of street food outside. So it's a great place to start. And then the museum there is great. They mm-hmm. have lots of great exhibits about the history and culture of Oaxaca.
Not a big museum.
Not a big museum, but
worth seeing.
Worth seeing. And it also is a great way to get a look inside at the architecture mm-hmm. of this gorgeous ex-convent. And then the ethnobotanical garden that's on the grounds as well is really fantastic. It's required to take a guided tour. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it's for everyone because it is at least 2 hours and it's very in-depth about plant life and history right. and culture. And I love it and I think it's amazing. I've taken it multiple times.
Now, some of those plants are important to people because some of the local plants give us things like mezcal. So
exactly. So, but I definitely do recommend it for most people. The thing I think is really special is they really go into the history of the most important plants and the cultural significance. And you get to see things like the predecessor for corn that was found right. here in the valley. And that is one of, if not the most important ingredients and food items in all of mm-hmm. Mexico and a lot of the world. And so there's just a lot of amazing insights and things you can learn about plant life in this really biodiverse state, if you're into that kind of thing.
Well, and you say the predecessor for corn, and originally corn, before a lot of breeding by Native American people over the years, was the size of your thumb, is what we're talking about in terms of the
right.
ear.
Right. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Not nearly as good for corn on the cob, but more like those little salad corns that Tom uh-huh. Hank eats in Big.
Yes, exactly. Just a couple little kernels that you can see how it looked, and it's mm-hmm. it's really cool to see how it progressed into what it is now.
And I'm looking at a post that I updated recently on that. The English tours are 3 times a week, so you want to check on the availability if your Spanish is not as good as Susan's.
Exactly. I want to say it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday around 11 a.m., but definitely okay. check the site for the current times.
Well, and when you went to Santo Domingo Church, you skipped over the cathedral.
which is the usually what we talk about in town, but you skipped to the prettier church. let's be honest.
That was my second thing that I have on my list, but and it's not that I think it's any more or less important, but I have noticed in Oaxaca, it's hard to say. I want to say that Santo Domingo has become a more gathering point than the Zocalo. I don't know if that's true, but I do think that lots of events kind of start or reach their peak there. And so it feels like it's kind of becoming more and more of an important meeting point or focal point.
That's interesting because it's very different from when I was there when the Zocalo, the central square, the plaza, was where everything was happening every night. There was always some live music in the Zocalo, in the gazebo, or there was always something happening there. So that is a change over the years since I haven't been there in, I don't know, 10 years probably.
Well, there is definitely, the Zocalo is very important and there are lots of events there. There are often concerts there or dancing. It's just a little bit different. I don't really know how to explain it, but there are two different meeting points that are both very important. But the area around Santo Domingo is kind of increasing in the activity. There's been a lot of concerts now just on the side of Santo Domingo. There's a little callejón that they are putting up a stage often and doing concerts. So I don't know. Maybe it's kind of equal in importance. It's hard to say.
But both are central places for activities.
Exactly. Okay. Cool. And a lot of times the activities kind of go back and forth between the two.
Well, and the other thing I would say about Santo Domingo is I wouldn't say the church was understated in the interior.
No.
It definitely heads to Rococo or over-the-top gilded. sort of.
Yes.
It's an interesting display, especially since it used to be an old convent. It seems a little odd. It's Baroque, though.
Yes. And it's also a big spot for weddings these days with people who have the means to do that. So that's kind of maybe another reason why it's become a hot spot, because a lot of the calendas, which I'll talk about later, are starting or ending there. So if you're looking for calendas, you can. It's kind of the best place to start.
Cool. Where to next?
The Zocalo, as we just mentioned, is the other most important spot. But it's so Zocalo is a central square in Mexico and in Oaxaca, and the cathedral is there, so that's obviously a very important church to visit. And there are always events and street vendors and people watching, tourists, locals. It's definitely a hub for action and a good place to start or end your walk around the centro.
Okay.
Lots of other really beautiful and important churches all around the city. There's many of them. One of the other ones I would say is La Soledad. It's a basilica, and it has this kind of beautiful plaza in front with steps that act as kind of an amphitheater where you can sit, and a lot of events take place there. And it's also, La Soledad is the patron saint of Oaxaca, so it's an important place for locals.
Oh, okay. The Basilica of Our Lady of Soledad.
Yes.
Nuestra Señora de Soledad.
Yes.
Got it.
So besides that, another really important thing to do in Oaxaca are to visit markets. The two main markets in the centro are called Benito Juarez and Veinte de Noviembre. And those are both great for different reasons, but they're right next to each other, so you can visit both very easily. The Benito Juarez market is more for shopping. It's kind of a typical market with produce, fresh veggies, fruit, cheese, mezcal, bread, tamales, and also artisan work. So it's a good place to wander around and taste some things and do some shopping. And then next door in Veinte de Noviembre,
so the 20th of November, which is a significant day in Mexican history, Independence Day, or an Independence Day.
That is more of a prepared foods market for the most part. So it's a great place to go to try some of the traditional foods that are really important here, which I'll get into soon.
Okay. As long as you promise me that you'll talk about carne asada and in that particular market, we're good.
Okay. I hadn't had that on my list, but that's always on my suggestions if you visit that market. So
we'll talk about that.
I'll definitely talk about that. Yeah. And then there's a couple really beautiful neighborhoods adjoining the centro called Xochimilco and Jalalaco. They're both historic neighborhoods with cobblestone streets. They also have a really strong street art culture happening now with local artists making these beautiful, colorful murals. So I definitely recommend doing a little walkthrough of those two neighborhoods, bring your camera, taking pictures.
I found Oaxaca just beautiful as a city in general, both street art, and I assume it's increased since I was there, but just the old buildings and sometimes the beat up old buildings, which I love those as well as a photographer.
It's an incredibly picturesque city. And I really do appreciate that it also feels like a real city. It's a real working city, but the buildings are all colorful and full of interesting details. And as you said, the street art really every year is increasing. There's so many murals popping up all the time, and it's really interesting to walk out and be like, oh, I haven't seen that one before. And they're just, yeah, they're beautiful.
Very cool. Where to next?
A couple other museums that I think are some of the most important culturally to have a good view of Oaxaca are the Rufino Tamayo Museum. So Rufino Tamayo was one of the most important Mexican painters of the 20th century, and he's also from Oaxaca. So this museum has his private collection of pre-Hispanic Mexican art that influenced his works of art. It's really a great collection, so I recommend that. And then the Textile Museum, I think, is great as well because the textile culture in Oaxaca is so important and so varied across the state. So this museum has a permanent collection that gives a good breakdown of styles and techniques across the state, and you can kind of learn more about that important culture here.
So would it be focusing on some of the classic and indigenous textile styles as well?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
They really vary around the state depending on indigenous group, and also just villages have their own styles. And there's so many unique ones, and it would be almost impossible to come here as a tourist and visit all the most important ones in the state. It would take I don't know how long because there's so many. So this is a great way to see everything together in one place and to get a good history and context on all that.
Well, and you say the indigenous peoples, and I think one of the surprises for me with Oaxaca was when I was told by a local that 60% of the people still speak a language other than Spanish at home. So Zapotec language or some other indigenous language. And I did not know that the culture was that rich still.
Yeah. And I think that's part of why I think it's so important to get out of the city. Not just a day, but to try to get out several times because there are, and it's not just one culture, there's so many across the state. There's many languages and cultures and traditions and artisan traditions that it's really amazing to get a little glimpse as your time allows in a little bit of all of those. So it's a very culturally rich state.
I had a chance when I was there. I was in the Zocalo at night, as one is, and I was traveling by myself and just sitting there, and a younger man, well, not a young man, came up and struck up a conversation, testing the limits of my Spanish, and we got to talking, and he was a weaver, weaving in the traditional fashion of the Zapotec people. He was a third generation weaver. And he actually invited me out to some of the places we'll talk about later in the valley. And then I went to his studio, and he and his daughter and granddaughter showed me how to make the natural red dye from the cochineal, which is the bugs that they find on cactus that make a deep red dye, and showed me the weaving technique. It was fascinating.
Oh, that's great.
There's actually still a video on Amateur Traveler, which I'll link from this episode about that experience. But Felipe Hernandez, if I recall correctly.
Okay. What a beautiful organic meeting to learn about the local culture. I love that.
Butcher Box is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first Butcher Box. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips.
Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Yeah, so then the last thing I would say about the city, what you should do, I mean, there's, as we've been talking about, there's an incredible depth and breadth of culture. And one of the beautiful things about Oaxaca is always celebrating something, it seems. And I love that. So you should definitely try to see some calendas if you can. Calendas are the local parade. It's only a Oaxacan word for a parade here. And they're gorgeous. They're full of people wearing traditional clothing, doing traditional dances. They have monos de calenda, which are these large paper mache puppets, basically, but they're huge and people wear them, and just it's a beautiful celebration. They pass out mezcal. Everyone has a good time. You can research before you come to see if there are any specific celebrations during your trip. There are often celebrations, so there's a very good chance there will be. There are certain times of year that are also more bigger celebrations than others, such as Galleguetza in the summer, Dia de los Muertos, Semana Santa, and then the weeks around Christmas. So those times will be kind of constant celebrations. But then also there are often just weddings or private calendas, but you're always welcome to stand on the side and enjoy the parade. So that's definitely something you should try to look out for while you're here.
Interesting. The large puppet reminds me of Valencia in Spain, and I wonder if there's any connection between the two cultures.
That's a good question. I've only been to Valencia for one day, so I don't have a strong enough handle on that, but that would be interesting to investigate.
Excellent. Now, the one market that I went to that you haven't mentioned, I loved the ones that you did mention, but there's also what I think was, at the time I was there, the largest market in Latin America, which was the, and I'm trying to think of it, it's across the tracks.
Well, there is the Central de Abastos.
That's the one.
Which is the wholesale market.
Right, and it's much more where the locals shop.
Yes.
But it's a warren of, I don't know how to describe it.
It's incredible. I don't recommend it for every traveler. I think if you can use common sense and be thoughtful and you are a bit of a seasoned traveler, it's definitely worth a visit. I love to go there. It's giant and overwhelming and
That's
frantic, right. But that's what I love most about markets. So I find it fascinating. There's amazing food there. You can find anything you want there. I've bought things for my home there. There is great artisan work. You can make furniture there. The sky is the limit. So it is a great place to visit if you're down to get into the local neighborhood.
It's not a touristy neighborhood.
No. Yep. But it is, I love it. And it's a very important part of Oaxaca.
Yep. Cool. Where to next?
So your next question that I have on my list is, where should you stay?
Sure. Where should we stay?
I recommend staying in the centro or the historic center. For many reasons, it's very convenient, and it's also where most of the tourist attractions will be. And everything also is very walkable. So you can easily get around and do all the things that we were mentioning in the things to do in the center just by walking. There are so many options, from budget hotels to hostels to luxury hotels and everything in between, mm-hmm. and Airbnbs. So you can easily find a great place in the center and you'll just be surrounded by lovely things.
Where next?
Okay, so we're ready to leave town, and there's so many places to go and a variety of things to see and learn about. Mm-hmm. So I'll break it up by subject. But the first subject would be nature, and I believe the best natural spot to visit is Yerba El Agua. And this site is really unique. It's a petrified waterfall. So what that means is there are some mineral springs at the top of this mountain in a remote part of the valley. And over the years, the mineral springs fall over the side of the mountain little by little, and the minerals accumulate.
Okay.
And
so it looks like a waterfall, but it's
exactly
rock.
It looks like kind of this foamy white waterfall, but it's all rock, and it's really huge, mm-hmm. really tall. It's a really dramatic and impressive place to visit. Even though it's a little bit in a remote part of the valley, it's still not too far to visit. And it's really a special place. There aren't many other places in the world like it.
And as a tourist, to get there, do you recommend renting a car, taking a bus, hailing an Uber?
So there's no Uber in Oaxaca.
There we go.
So there are a few options, and it kind of depends on what your travel style is and, mm-hmm. and your Spanish level also. So for Yerba El Agua, you don't really need Spanish, but for some of the other places we'll talk about visiting in the valley, if you're visiting artisans mm-hmm. or a mezcal palenque, then probably hiring a guide or booking a guided tour will be best.
Okay.
So you can get the most out of it and understand and learn more of the context. If not, you can hire a taxi for the day or by hour, if that's something you would prefer. You can also rent a car if you're a little bit more of an adventurous or seasoned traveler and you're okay driving. But finally, there's also public transport options if you're a budget traveler or if you want to dig deeper into the day-to-day life. I will say the public transportation option to Yerba El Agua does take quite a bit longer.
Okay.
But if you have the time to do it, it's definitely an option. So yeah, definitely Yerba El Agua is a special place to visit. And then archaeological sites are extremely plentiful here. And as I understand, there are still so many that haven't been uncovered.
Right.
But if I had to only recommend a couple, I would say Monte Alban is probably, it is the most important archaeological site. It was the capital of the Zapotecs for 13 centuries, I believe. It's a large, impressive site. It's very close to the city, but it's also on a mountain just mm-hmm. above the city. So you have these gorgeous sweeping views of the city and the valley.
And when you say it's on a mountain, I don't think you've quite captured that the Zapotec people just some 2,500 years ago or something like that took the top of a mountain and, as far as we know, with stone tools, leveled it
right,
and built this impressive plaza area that you can see there. And you were talking about there are many other ruins. From what our guide there told us, if you took any mountain in the area and uncovered mm-hmm. it and dug up, you would find something similar from the same civilization. They were known as the Cloud People. They lived up in the mountains, mm-hmm. Heavily trading, heavily matriarchal society, because the men were off for years at a time trading far away. Mm-hmm. Fascinating place.
It's amazing. I have some local friends who they'll just go for walks mm-hmm. and they kind of know where to go, and they'll just find these artifacts, these pre-Hispanic artifacts of carved heads and different symbols. Mm. And I have a friend who has a little collection in their house, and it's amazing. I mean, this whole entire valley, as I researched, it was inhabited since 11,000 BC. So you can imagine that's so much time to just build and create these things that ebbed and flowed and are now covered in grass. And there's just so much out there that we still don't know about.
Right. No, fascinating place.
There's so many. If you're a history buff or really into these types of sites, you can spend an entire week just visiting sites. There's so many.
Yeah, I would go to Oaxaca just for Monte Alban.
Mm-hmm.
of course, there's so much else to do, but I would go just for that site.
Right. Yeah. You can apply that to pretty much any theme of Oaxaca. Artisan work, textiles, pottery,
sure. Yep.
Food, mezcal. Yeah. Anyway, so then the second most important site is called Mitla, mm-hmm. and that would be the religious center of the Zapotecs. And that is most famous for these intricate geometrical carvings that they have on the walls of the site. It's a really beautiful site, mm-hmm. and nicely paired with some of the day trips out east, like Yerba El Agua or some of the other places that I'll talk about.
Sure.
Besides archaeological sites, I do think markets are really important for understanding a culture. And the markets in the center are great, but I think it's also a different experience and really amazing to get a glimpse at a traditional Pueblo market. Mm-hmm. So my favorite is the Tlacolula market on Sundays.
That's the one I went to, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's bustling and there's a plethora of food and mm-hmm. anything else, farming equipment, live animals, produce, everything. And also a really impressive selection of artisan goods because mm-hmm. many great artisan villages are close to there. I definitely recommend that one if you're in Oaxaca on a Sunday. If not, there's another one I do really enjoy as well called Ocotlan. The town is Ocotlan, and on Fridays they have their traditional market.
Okay.
Besides that, the artisan culture in Oaxaca is incredible, and every village seems to have their own tradition, their own theme, their own artwork. Mm-hmm. So some of the most important ones, or the most prevalent ones, are textiles. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, all over the state, there are many different techniques and different traditions. But one place I do recommend that I think is good because it's pretty easy to visit from Oaxaca and the traditions and the textiles there are really beautiful is called Santo Tomas Jalietza. And it's just south of the city. And they mostly still work with backstrap looms. So it's okay. A loom that's literally strapped to your back with a leather piece.
Huh.
And on the other side of you, so the loom is in front of you, and then on the other side, it's tied to a pole or a tree to have the tension.
Okay.
And this is in Oaxaca and also in Mayan parts of Mexico and Guatemala. It's still a important traditional method of weaving, and it's really beautiful. And their work is really beautiful.
Huh. Okay. So you're using your body as the counterweight to keep
exactly.
the tension on the thing that you're weaving.
Exactly.
Got it.
Another important artisan work is rug weaving here. And the best place to go to learn about that is Teotitlan, the Valle. They're famous for their woven rugs. And many of the artisans there still work with natural dyes. So as you'd mentioned, mm-hmm. there's a lot of different natural ingredients. There's the cochinilla, that is an insect from the nopal cactus mm-hmm. that creates a super vibrant red dye.
Well, when you say super vibrant, all of the natural dyes are more muted than our commercial dyes. So it's vibrant in the realm of colors from the natural dyes.
True. But it is really, I mean,
it's a rich, deep red. Yeah.
It's very rich and it kind of takes you aback how mm-hmm. beautiful it is. And there are many other ingredients they use. And so you can kind of get a demonstration mm-hmm. of that and see the ingredients and how they create these colors and then spin the wool. And then they create the rugs on wooden looms. Mm-hmm. Ceramics are also a huge artisan work here. And they vary depending on which village you go to. There's many different styles. So the red clay, a great place to go for that is San Marcos Tapazola. The black clay, you can go to San Bartolo Coyotepec. And the green clay, you can find in Atzompa.
I'm hoping you're sending me some links here after this so that I'll put in the show notes. Okay.
Sure. They're all kind of equally important in Oaxaca. And the styles are completely different because the colors are different and the textures are different. Mm-hmm. So if you're big into ceramics, you can visit all of them and see the differences.
Okay.
And then lastly, I'll mention the alebrijes, which are very popular here as well. So these are small wooden animal sculptures that are kind of these surreal creatures.
Okay.
And they're painted in bright colors and designs. They're really beautiful. These really tiny little cute sculptures. Or they can be larger as well. And you can find those in San Martín Tilquejete.
Okay.
And that's kind of my roundup for the most important day trips.
Excellent. Well, we've been saving some of the best for last, which is food.
Yes.
Because again, always. You could go to Oaxaca just for the food.
Yes.
And what would we have?
Just talking about some of the most important things. I mean, you can eat your way through the city for months and years. But the most important dish, I think most would agree, is mole.
Sure. Or moles. If you think it's one, if you think it's one thing, that mole looks one way, you haven't been to Oaxaca. Right.
So I was just about to say, there are seven recognized types here, they are all vary based on color and flavor and ingredients. There's green and red and yellow, and they're all different. But the most important one in Oaxaca is the mole negro.
Sure.
And that one is usually eaten by locals for special days, for holidays and weddings and celebrations. And so that's definitely the one. If you can only eat one, you should definitely have that one.
And that's the one that people are more familiar with, made from the, I want to say bitter chocolate. Bitter may be pejorative there, but but made from unsweetened chocolate.
Right. Chocolate is involved. And most of the moles have 20 to 30 ingredients. So I've tried memorizing them before, but it just doesn't stick. But there's nuts and herbs and spices and so many things. And they're so complex, and they're very time consuming, and they're always made with love because they're for these celebrations. Hmm. So they're really a special thing to try. If you have time to try more than one, you definitely should, but definitely fit in mole negro.
Well, and I was able to get, I've got a picture on a blog post that I'll put a link to, a plate with a sampler of six of the seven types, which is a great way to try that at Los Pacos. I don't know if they're still around or not.
But,
but it was a great, and my favorites are the traditional one, the Negro, and also Colorado, which is the red one.
Coloradito is my favorite, actually, as well. It's really, the mole negro is a little bit sweet. And I'm not so much a sweet person, although it's very delicious. But Coloradito has this mix of spicy and rich and a tiny, tiny bit sweet. I really like that one. I think it's really balanced.
Excellent. And what else should we try in Oaxaca?
One of the most popular important dishes in Oaxaca are called memelas.
Okay.
And they are tortillas that are a little bit thicker than normal, grilled on a comal. And then you comal, like a round ceramic griddle that you put over an open flame. A lot of things are cooked here on a comal. And so then the tortilla is then, you add a layer of asiento, which is lard.
Sounds better in Spanish.
It does sound better in Spanish, but it's delicious. Don't be afraid. And then a layer of bean paste that's made with herbs, some crumpled queso fresco, or shredded quesillo, which is the local cheese here. Mm-hmm.
The real white cheese.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to string cheese, but better. And that's really common for breakfast or sometimes as an evening snack.
Unless, of course, you're vegan, in which case.
Well.
You lost it at the lard.
There are some options in Oaxaca for that, but most that I will talk about are not.
Not the traditional ones.
No. The next important dish are called tlayudas. And they're actually a little bit similar as far as toppings to memelas, but the presentation and the taste is really different. So this is a very large tortilla that's thin but a little bit hard that you add the asiento again and then the bean paste and then shredded quesillo. And sometimes there are veggies or avocado. But then you fold it and then you grill it over an open flame.
Okay.
And it's just delicious and smoky. And that's a really common dinner that you would eat on the street at a street stand or in a market or sometimes in a restaurant.
Okay.
And then a few more. So garnachas, I want to mention because they are from the Isthmus region of Oaxaca, which is a bit different. It's between the Oaxaca Valley and Chiapas State. And the geography and the climate is really quite different. So the food is also different. But you can find a lot of Isthmus-style food here, and people love it. So one of probably the most important Isthmus-style food is garnachas. And that is also a tortilla, but a bit thicker and small and fried. And then you have some shredded beef on top, some marinated cabbage, and then salsa and crumbled cheese. And that's what we call a snack.
Okay.
Another snack are called chapulines, and those are whole toasted grasshoppers.
Ah, yes.
Very common and actually very delicious. Even if it doesn't sound like something you would normally eat, I highly suggest trying
to. And you'll see them all over the markets.
Yes. They're stacked in kind of pyramids, mm-hmm. and there's different flavors. Traditionally, they're flavored with salt and lime and chile. Mm-hmm. But you can find kind of different variations sometimes with garlic. And really, they're quite tasty, and they're great with a beer or a mezcal. So you should definitely try it out.
The ones that I ate had tuna, and I mean that in the Mexican sense, not the U.S.
Really?
Sense. So it had a cactus.
Fruit.
Yeah, which really surprised me the first time I saw an ice cream place in Oaxaca that had a sign out front that said tuna, because I didn't realize we were talking about the fruit of a cactus and not a fish.
Exactly.
But, and then it had it was served on a bed of guacamole, and it was quite spicy. And you know what I always used to tell people, you know, it's not a bad flavor, although, you know, those little antenna getting stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, you kind of have to put mind over matter. But me, as a person who, when I was a child, was really afraid of spiders, I feel really proud of myself for overcoming that. And I love eating chapulines now. It just takes a little practice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're delicious. The final food before I go into the drinks that I think is really special and important in Oaxaca is barbacoa.
Okay.
It's basically barbecued goat or lamb. It's most famous in the nearby town of Tlacolula that I mentioned. And that is usually roasted in agave leaves in a pit in the ground for hours, many hours, slow roasted. And it's just really tender and delicious, and often served in a broth or with the broth on the side.
Excellent. Well, and as we've talked about in this show before, U.S. barbecue traces its roots to barbacoa and to the gauchos coming up from Latin America to Texas, for instance.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I want to learn more about that. That's great.
Well, and before we leave food, I have to put in a plug, as I mentioned, for the Mercado 20th of November. Mm-hmm. And the carne asada experience there, because it's not just that you're going and getting grilled carne asada there, but it's a bit of a scavenger hunt.
Right.
Because you go and order the meat, but then the meat doesn't come with the chilies and the onions, so you have to buy them first and bring the meat, and then over to the person who will barbecue it, who's the person who sold you the meat, and then you go buy the tortillas separately. But you end up with one of the best meals I've ever had in this smoky room filled mostly with locals, but wonderful street food-ish kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. That is one of my favorite things to do. And I always, if someone's visiting, I always bring them there. The experience is super fun, but also the flavors are just incredible when they're grilled like that. Yeah. But interestingly enough, so I had written this whole blog post that was step-by-step how to do this really complicated procedure.
I did the same thing. Yes, I understand.
But they have changed it recently,
and they
now made it much more streamlined.
Interesting.
So the last time I went with friends, we entered and we were expecting to do the whole thing. And there was basically like a waiter who greeted us. He brought us to the table. I think we did buy the meat separately still.
Okay.
But then everything else was together. So the salsas and the fresh veggies and the grilled veggies and the tortillas and the drinks and everything came streamlined from this waiter. So seems they have streamlined it a bit, but this experience is still absolutely worth it. And
that's
actually
funny.
Easier. And the food is incredible. So it's definitely a must do. And that's in the 20 de noviembre, or the 20th of November market.
Mm-hmm. Only about two blocks from the Zocalo or so.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then you wanted to get to drink.
Yeah, just a couple more food items, but in the drink category, which is still very important here. So obviously, mezcal. Mm-hmm. This is like a very trendy spirit right now, but it's incredible. And the tradition is really amazing here because it's largely still made in small batches on family farms with generations of mezcal maestros that have learned from their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather. So it has this beautiful tradition and also this incredible variation, because everything is made in these small batches of liters, and they're made from many, many, many different types of agaves. And also the earth and the water affects the flavor. So it depends where you are. Mezcal has terroir. Yeah. If you're interested in variations of things like I am, and you like to taste lots of things, it's an unending, exciting thing that you can explore, because there's just unending variations, and the tasting different agaves or tasting different mezcals of palenques or different regions, they're all different. And so it can be really fun. But I definitely recommend, even if you're not as enthusiastic as some, it is still great to visit a mezcal palenque and see the process from start to finish. It's a really big part of culture here. I think it's a great thing to learn. And there's some great, besides going to a palenque or a farm, there are some really great mezcalerias in the centro, or mezcal bars, that do tastings, and you can learn a lot of subtleties and history and context that way as well.
Excellent.
A couple other drinks. Chocolate is really important in Oaxaca, but it's typically not eaten. It's drank as a beverage.
Which traditionally it was. If you were in nobility, you had to be special to drink chocolate way back in the day, 2,000 years ago. Yeah. So be glad you weren't born 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so definitely drinking some traditional hot chocolate is great here. It's made in the traditional way. It's not poured from a packet. It's it's made from actual chocolate.
Okay.
And then the final drink that is very unique to Oaxaca is called tejate. This is a traditional pre-Hispanic non-alcoholic drink that is made from toasted corn, fermented cacao beans, flor de cacao, and toasted mamey seed. And all these ingredients are ground into a powder, and then ground to a paste, actually, and then kneaded by hand with water to create this beverage that I sometimes say is sort of like a mocha, but a much more delicious mocha. It has this chocolate flavor, but it's very subtle, and it's really balanced, and it's just delicious. So I definitely recommend trying that as well.
Excellent. And I did not when I was there. I'll have to go back.
Oh, no. Definitely next time.
As we start to wind this down, I think we've done good justice here to Oaxaca. You are standing in the prettiest spot in the Oaxaca region. Where are you standing, and what are you looking at?
I guess I would say it would be Yerba El Agua.
Okay.
Because it's incredibly dramatic.
Yep.
From my research, I believe there's only one other site in the world that has this kind of petrified waterfall effect.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a large-scale version of Pamukkale in Turkey, the calcified...
Yes, that's the other spot.
Pools, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that I read about. I haven't been there, but
taller, much, much, much taller.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. There's a big valley that opens up in front of it, and then these rolling big mountains on all sides, and it's just... breathtaking. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You get to see a little bit of how beautiful the nature in Oaxaca State is. It's hard to kind of get around the Oaxacan mountains because the roads aren't necessarily developed into highways. So I think this is a great way to see that, and to also see this natural phenomenon.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Oaxaca.
Celebrating everything. When you start to spend more and more time here, you realize how often there's a calenda or a feria affair or a saint day or a reason to shoot off fireworks. There's just always something. And Oaxacans love to celebrate. And it's so fun. And it's really inspiring and interesting to see the differentiations in the different celebrations. In certain times of year, like Galleguetza, Galleguetza is actually normally right now in July, and it's 2 weeks of celebrations that are promoting the culture of the whole Oaxaca State, all the different regions. If people come to the city and they show their dance and their traditional dress and their traditional products or food or artisan works. And it kind of keeps growing and growing. It's like a month now of celebrations where at the end you're kind of exhausted, but it's a great exhaustion. So I think that's a great metaphor for how it feels to spend time here.
Excellent. Well, the one thing we didn't say is I found, and I don't know if it's changed in the 10 years since I've been there, it to be a very affordable city, despite the fact that it gets a lot of tourism. And as I look at hotel prices right now, I'm seeing numbers that I would pay more for parking at a local hotel than I would pay for a night. So now, obviously, I'm looking in the middle of a pandemic, so things are probably lower. But despite the fact that it has a tourist infrastructure, there's a lot of Americans who go there and a lot of Europeans and things. It is a known city. We're not off the map, but I found an affordable city and colorful.
Yes, it definitely is. You can kind of set your budget whatever you want, and you can go to fancy places or local places, but you can absolutely have an affordable trip here. There's just so much variation and so many options, and it's very colorful, as you said, which is great.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Susan Metnosky. And Susan, if we send people over to brooklyntropically.com, to your best post on Oaxaca, where are we going to send them?
Well, I have a lot, but I recently labored over one that I'm really proud of that I think is especially helpful. It's called 1 Week Oaxaca Trip, Mezcal Food and Culture Itinerary in Oaxaca. And it's a really specific itinerary, day by day, I think it's actually 8 days. From start to finish, meals, transportation, what you should do each day, all these things that we talked about. So I think that's a great place to start to kind of figure out how to put it all together.
Excellent. Well, Susan, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and for sharing with us your love for Oaxaca.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
In news of the community, first a thanks to all the patrons of the show who support it through Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. And I heard a while back from Marilyn about the episode we did with Oslo with Jason. Said I was a little surprised about a few things he left out that as a history lover especially I think you would appreciate. The Arkeshus is a castle fortress with a long history walking distance from downtown. The Norwegian pavilion at Epcot Orlando is a replica of it. Interesting. The World War II Norwegian Resistance Museum is there. There are several places related to the Nobel Peace Prize worth visiting, including the Nobel Peace Museum, City Hall, and Grand Hotel. As for fun, the Oslo Opera House is a wonderful and popular place to crawl all over it, and the view from the roof is fantastic. Thanks so much, Marilyn. Then I also heard from Susan, who wrote and said, "Hello, Chris. I've been listening to the Amateur Traveler podcast for many years, but this is the first time I've made the effort to get in touch. I just wanted to let you know that I'm continuing to enjoy every episode, whether it's about somewhere I've already been, an area I plan on visiting, or a destination that I will probably never go to. I live in Northern England, and prior to lockdown, I listened to the podcast on my daily walk to the office. But since that routine is a thing of the past, you're now in my ears while I'm strolling down by the River Tees or in the beautiful woods and meadows near my home. My husband and I love traveling and usually visit the U.S. twice a year, so find the podcasts about your home country particularly interesting and useful. For now, I'm keeping a list of places to visit in the future. South Dakota is the latest addition, thanks to a particularly informative edition. Keep up the good work. All the best, Susan." Thanks so much, Susan, and thanks to all of you who write and support the show. It gives me a boost. I've been pointing out some of the affiliates we have for Amateur Traveler, and I'd like to point out Hotels.com, which I've mentioned on the show a few times, mentioned on This Week in Travel, perhaps more. It tends to be where I am booking a lot of my hotels through, and one of the reasons for that is with every 10 bookings, you get the 11th night free at the average of the prices of the first 10. They're not dumb. They're doing a special the week that I'm recording this that they're actually throwing in the Sunday night free for a weekend stay. And so as people are trying to drum up business for hotels during this pandemic, that might be something that you're interested in if you're doing a local and safe trip. And check out all the affiliate links at amateurtraveler.com/affiliates. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.